Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yes, Lord, I do need to follow you. I need you to lead and to guide. I need to be faithful. I need to be a trusting follower. I need to not lean on my own understanding, but to trust you each step of the way. I need to trust you completely for the journey. So today, here's my prayer. As I hear you say, come follow me, I am responding with obedience and trust. And may my faithfulness be a reflection of my love for you. Amen. Folks, this is Don Crisp, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls. You are listening to the Good News Christian Ministries radio program. And listen, if you wish to contact us at any time, you can write us at the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. And I, at this time, would like to welcome you to our message for today. This is Part 6 on the Lord's Prayer. And this message is entitled, Lead Us Not Into Temptation. Now, before we get at that, let me just give you a biblical principle that I think is so very important. Here it is. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Did you hear that? A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Let's recap where we are in our series on the Lord's Prayer. Each week I've brought to you the information concerning the Didache, the teaching of the 12 apostles. The Didache makes it clear that the early church always used the Lord's Prayer in its public worship services, and it did not permit non-believers or unbelievers, or some people today would say pre-believers, to join in the praying of that prayer. Also, the Didache encouraged all believers to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. Furthermore, at special services, weddings, funerals, dedication services, whenever they came together, because they saw that it was a prayer for God's people as they came together. When we look closer at the prayer, we see the first half of the Lord's Prayer is directed to God. It speaks of his paternity, his person, his program, his purpose. Oh, yes. His paternity, as we see, our Father in heaven. Even as we say those words, we understand we're speaking about his paternity. It speaks about his person. Holy is your name, or hallowed be your name. It speaks of his program. Your kingdom come, your kingdom come. And then it speaks of his purpose. Your will be done on earth as perfectly as it is done in heaven. And then we move to the second part of the prayer, which speaks of his provision, his pardon, his protection and preservation. When we speak of provision, we see it when we pray, give us today our daily bread. This speaks of the needs that we have, not our wants or desires, but our needs. God provides for our needs. He looks beyond our faults and sees our needs, and he provides for them. We also see in the prayer, pardon. Pardon as we pray, forgive us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have trespassed against us or sinned against us. Oh yes, it speaks of protection, which is our message for today. Lead us not into temptation. And next week's message, we will speak about preservation. Deliver us from the evil one. All right, are you ready? Let's get into the message. Lead us not into temptation. Interesting way of phraseology. It's as if God could lead us into temptation, but that's actually, as you'll see in this message, not what it's not saying at all. So let's raise the question. Does the word temptation always mean to tempt us to do evil? Or does it actually mean to test? Does it mean to bring trials or allow trials to come into our lives. Well, okay, let's look at it this way. Here's a biblical truth for all of us. God does not tempt us to do evil. God does not tempt us to do evil. The fact is, James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil." Here it comes. "Nor does he tempt anyone to do evil. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed." Did you notice the emphasis? It's by our own evil desire. God doesn't tempt us with evil whatsoever. How often have you caught yourself or heard yourself saying, "The devil made me do it"? Or when we really should be saying, "I wanted to do it." And we need to remember that God did not condone me doing it. Yes, we pray, "Lord, lead us not into temptation," knowing full well he never would lead us into evil. Oh, did you hear me say? But he will lead us into a time of testing. That's my second point. The word temptation also means testing. It also means trial, but let's focus on testing. The fact is, you and I are going to be tested. Athletes need to be tested to test their strength, to see just how far they can go. And as the testing goes forward, then they're able to get stronger and they're able to do more. Genesis chapter 2, verse 11 says that God tested Abraham. Job 23, verse 10 says, "When he has tested me, when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold." I love that. 1 Timothy 3:10 says concerning the office of deacon or elder, they must first be tested. As a matter of fact, Jesus was tested as well. Matthew 4:1-11 reminds us that the test that he went through with Satan in the desert was a test about faithfulness, his faithfulness to his Father in heaven and his faithfulness to the Word. In many ways, when we look at a time of testing for all of us, whether we're looking at Scripture or we're looking at ourselves as committed followers of Jesus Christ, listen, it's really about a faith workout. Each one of us are going to go through faith workouts where God is literally going to test us. God is wanting to strengthen us, and we're going to hear a little bit more about that as I continue in this message. It's very important that we see that God is wanting to make us stronger. He wants us to come forth as gold. Therefore, we pray, lead us not into a time of temptation, but every time we say it, say, "Lord, I know you're going to lead me into a time of testing." James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, actually, "Consider it pure joy when you face trials." You see, the word temptation means testing, but it also means trials. "Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of our faith develops perseverance." There you have it. The testing of your faith will develop perseverance as we go through the trials that are placed before us, or that God allows to be placed before us. It's so important that we get this. James 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man or woman who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Did you catch that? The man or the woman who perseveres under trial, they need to stand the test. Listen, the word persevere in the Bible means to take whatever trial you're going through and use it as a platform to bring honor and glory to God. I hope you got that point, because every one of us go through trials. Every one of us, when we're tested, we ask ourselves, "Why me? Why this? Why now?" Well, you know what? We need to stop asking why, or we need to stop whining. And literally, we need to look and say, "Lord, whatever you bring before me, whatever you allow to come my way, I want to persevere. I want to use whatever comes my way, whatever trial that happens to be, I want to use it as a platform to bring you honor and glory." You know, we often would say when things happen, when we're confronted with circumstances or trials or times of testings, we catch ourselves saying, WWJD. Remember that bracelet? It means, "What would Jesus do in this given situation?" I think there needs to be another one out that precedes that. WWJT. So when a circumstance comes, when a time of testing comes, when a trial comes, we need to WWJT. We need to ask, what would Jesus think about this trial? What would Jesus think about this time of testing? What would Jesus think about this circumstance that I'm going through? And once we get into the mind of Christ and understand that he would think that this would be seen as a privilege to bring honor and glory to his God, then we can go WWJD. What did Jesus do? Well, you know what? He did it. He was faithful. There's a challenge for each one of us. Why? Because a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. We go back to the Garden of Eden and we see Adam and Eve and we see that they failed the test. God said, you can touch any of these. As he looked at the trees and the fruit and everything, he said, you can have any of these, but not this one. Isn't it interesting? Humanity, as humanoids, when someone says you can do anything but this one thing. And what's the one thing we seem to always go to? The one thing that's forbidden. And that's what happened with Adam. The first Adam, we know biblically, plunged us into sin because of disobedience. He failed the test and trust test. We understand in Romans that Jesus Christ is referred to as the second Adam. He didn't plunge us into sin. He's the one who delivered us from sin. Oh, yes, the church, the bride of Christ. And we're kind of like the second Eve. We come alongside and we're to follow faithfully, knowing full well we'll be tested. We will go through trials. There'll be different opportunities and privileges that come our way to see if we can be trusted, even as we're being tested, whether we would be faithful or not. Abraham had to be tested before he could be trusted. You remember Abraham? He takes his son Isaac. Oh, he had waited so long for God's promise that there would be a seed and that he would have a son. And out of that seed, God would birth a nation that would be so numerous. And then God wanted to test Abraham's faithfulness and his love for him. And he asked him to sacrifice his son. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. But in fact, that immediately he took Isaac, and there they went up to Mount Moriah, where we now know today is where Jerusalem resides, Mount Moriah. And there Abraham passed the test. He proved that he was faithfully trustworthy. That was Abraham's faith workout. Revealing, isn't it? I wonder what would happen if God asked some great issue in our life to be a test to see how we would do. Let's look at a truth lesson here. The Bible says that Satan is a deceiver. We understand this. We understand this completely. He's a deceiver. Satan is a deceiver, and Jesus called him the father of lies. That's in John 8:44. And so we need to ask ourselves, when it comes to truth nowadays, who do you believe? Do you believe what the world says about issues, about what sin is, or do you believe what God says, what his word says? How often do you hear people who say they believe say, well, I know this can't be wrong because it seems good. It seems like it's light. It's like truth. The Bible says we're to test all things with Scripture and by Scripture. Scripture is the plumb line. It means that we don't have to, or the bar. It means that we are never to lower the bar of God's truth or God's standards when it comes to living our lives. It's important that the plumb line be in place so that we don't bring our opinions or our questions or the things that we want to do and say, well, maybe this isn't so wrong. No. We need to bring it alongside of God's word, and he will be in his word. He is the one who speaks to the issue and says, this is truth. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Now remember, Satan masquerades as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. So if we go by opinion or if we go by feeling, and I see so many people today saying, I'm spiritual and therefore I can do this or do that. And yet you look at God's word and say, but God's word condemns you doing this. We're not to be into astrology. We're not to go to fortune tellers. We're not to do this. We're not to do that. And people say, but I know, but I think God speaks to me through it. No, he doesn't. God speaks very clearly in his word. We're to avoid those things. Why? Because Satan is masquerading in those things as an angel of light. It looks good. It even feels good, but it isn't good. Here's the truth for our generation. Not all light is truth. We must be careful to avoid Satan's lies, Satan's deceptions. We must be careful that we don't lie to ourselves. You know what? Even our spiritual leaders are prone to listen. It just takes a moment for us to get distracted from God's word, and we begin to either to listen to popular opinion or to the opinions of the culture. We need to be like Issachar of old and be able to discern our times to advise the people of God what they should do in the issues that face them, in the trials that face them, in the times of testings that they'll go through. And yet our spiritual leaders are prone to fall as well. Billy Graham said 75% of our finest leaders have fallen to sexual sin. Can you believe that? And why does that happen? We all fall when we lose focus. We will all fall when we allow ourselves to be distracted, when we turn away from God's word and begin living according to feelings, begin living according to what popular opinion demands. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, we can discern six lies that we tell ourselves. Six lies that open the door for temptations, traps, or that allow us to go through times of testings and trials. Here are the lies. Have you ever heard people say this? Or maybe you have as well. When we hear people say, "It couldn't happen to me. That would never happen to me." Or, "I'm the only one left who is faithful." Or, "It appears that God has abandoned me." Another lie is, "I didn't have a choice." Or, "It's not my fault." Or, "The devil made me do it." You know what? We've drifted when we say those things. The fact is that when we mess up, we need to fess up. We need to own it. We need to confess it. We need to be forgiven. And then we need to move forward. We serve a loving, merciful, compassionate God who's willing to do all those things, but we need to do what he wants us to do. Oh, how important that is. I want you to picture for a moment, when you think of a time of testing and trials, of Lot. Remember Abraham and Lot? They were traveling together. Abraham had his flocks and Lot had his and his people and Abraham's people. They were so numerous. Finally, Abraham said to Lot, "We need to divide. The land will not take all of our flocks. They need to eat. So if you want to go left, I'll go right. If you want to go right, I'll go left." Well, interesting, isn't it? Lot chose his way. And this is what Scripture says. That now let me just say something. As the story in Genesis 13 speaks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom is a picture of sin. This is what Scripture says. Genesis 13:10. He saw Sodom. And then Genesis 13:12 says, "Then he moved close to Sodom." Genesis 14:12 says, then he moved into Sodom. And Genesis 19:1 says, "And then it moved into him." Now, what do we mean by that? Well, in Genesis 13:10, it says he saw Sodom. That word "saw" in the Hebrew means he desired it. He longed for it. Isn't that what happens when we look at sin? You see, if we look at sin and if we don't look away quickly, we begin to desire it and we begin to long for it. And then Genesis 13:12 says, then we move closer to it. You can call this the four steps into sin. First, we long for it. Then we move closer to it. And Genesis 14:12, then we move into it. We just cross over that line and we trespass against God's laws between right and wrong. And Genesis 19:1 says it moves into us, meaning literally that Lot is now on town council, as it were, of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's sitting at the city gates. He's now, many would believe, a politician, and he's being totally inundated and polluted by the culture of Sodom. There's a picture of a Christian who falls into sin, who enters into sin, a time of testing, a time of trusting, a time of failing to be trusted because we failed to test. This is a lesson we all need to learn, all because we become distracted. We don't focus on God. We don't focus on his word and his will for our lives. It really makes us wonder, do we know who we are? And do we really know where we're going? We're not supposed to head to Sodom. We're heaven bound as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't entered into God's will and God's plan for your life, let me ask you this question. Do you know who you are? And do you know where you're going? Remember Satan's attack and time of tempting Jesus. Satan attacked his faithfulness to his Father and his faithfulness to God's Word. He attacked his very identity. It was January 2000 when the leaders in Charlotte, North Carolina invited their favorite son, Billy Graham, for a luncheon in his honor. Billy initially hesitated to accept the invitation because he had struggled with and was struggling with Parkinson's disease. But the Charlotte leader said, we don't expect a major address. Just come and let us honor you. And so he agreed. After wonderful things were said about him, Dr. Graham stepped to the podium, looked at the crowd, and this is what he said. Quote, I'm reminded today of Albert Einstein, the greatest physicist who this month has been honored by Time magazine as the man of the century. Einstein was traveling from Princeton on a train when the conductor came down the aisle, punching the tickets of every passenger. When he came to Einstein, Einstein reached into his vest pocket. He couldn't find the ticket. He reached into his trouser pockets. Couldn't find the ticket. It wasn't there. So he looked into his briefcase. He couldn't find it anywhere. The conductor finally said, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it. Well, the conductor left, and Einstein looked everywhere, and finally the conductor looked back over his shoulder and saw Dr. Einstein on all fours. He came back and he said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry about it. I know who you are. There's no problem here. You don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought one. Einstein looked at him and he said, young man, thank you. I too know who I am. The problem here is that I don't know where I'm going. Having said that, Billy Graham continued, see the suit I'm wearing? It's brand new. My children and my grandchildren are telling me I've gotten a little slovenly. I used to be a better dresser. But the fact is, when I went out and bought this suit, I bought it for this luncheon and for one more occasion. And that occasion is when I'll be buried. You see, when you hear I'm dead, I want you to immediately remember the suit I'm wearing. I want you to remember the story that I'm telling you right now. Not only that I know who I am, but also that Billy Graham knew where he was going. Now, here's the question, folks. We all go through trials. We all go through temptations. But do you know who you are? Do you know where you're going as you look at your faith workout that continues to be brought before you? Can you say to the Lord today, Lord, would you lead me and guide me and continue to provide? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us to this essence of who I am and where I'm going. Lord, would you just lead me and guide me and allow me, Lord, even when I'm being tested, even when I go through trials, to look to you for my strength, for my courage, for my encouragement. I want to say today, Father, that I do trust you. And today, Father, I want to count you as my Father in heaven. And Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for paying for my sins. Thank you for being my Savior. Lead on, O King Eternal. And Lord, let me say this now, how much I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I want to thank you for you being part of the support team of this radio ministry. I want to thank you for being prayerfully supportive. I want to thank you that the truth is that you're not only prayerfully supportive, but many of you have been financially supportive as well. You know, if you believe that these messages need to be heard by those who believe and those who are yet to believe, then I need you to add your financial support to your prayer support. Again, make sure you honor your commitment to your home church first. That's so important. But after that, would you stop, think, and pray? And if God is leading you to support the Good News Christian Ministries, then would you make out a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries? Send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. And the fact is, if you would like to contact me, you can email me at don.thegoodnews@gmail.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And by the way, I will respond to any messages that are sent my way. Now, please encourage others to listen to this radio ministry. You can listen to this program each Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on CFRA or 580 a.m. or on Rogers Cable 927. Or you can go online to CFRA.com and you can see the podcast. Or during the week, go to the website, our website, Good News Christian Ministries, and click on broadcast. You can also catch any of the messages that are there as well. Now, my friends, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, the precepts, and the promises that are found within it. Oh, Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. Lord, we trust your leading, your guiding, because you are the faithful one. You are the one we worship. Great is your faithfulness. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope and love and truth. Amen. Folks, now let's listen to Sandy Patty singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.